Well, again, I am excited about the word that God has given me tonight. And before we get into the word, I just want you to just imagine with me, if you would, just for a moment, the last time that you pursued something that you feel like in your heart of hearts that God was leading you. He was with you. And regardless, and as you was pursuing that thing, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you were told as you began to step into that thing, maybe it was a job, maybe it was a relationship, and all of a sudden, in an abrupt fashion, you were told, access denied. Maybe at this time of the year, we have a lot of folks, a lot of young folks who are planning to head off to school in the fall. Maybe you filled out all your applications. You did all your work in the classroom, only to get the letter in the mail to say, access denied. You think about the last time you were told that you didn't have what it took to go beyond a certain point. Are you thinking about it? If you had a pen and paper, I would ask you to write down maybe your top three, because some of us have more than that. And think about the emotion. Think about how you felt when you were told access denied. You cannot go beyond this point. We live in a time where in society, the world will place limitations on folks. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And although you do your due diligence in trying to meet the so-called qualification or the prerequisites to move into that thing, to your surprise, you find out that there's a limitation, there's a barrier there that is keeping you from moving into what you believe that God has called you to walk in. And many times, I know in my own life, it's never my fault. It's always somebody else blocking me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, I believe tonight that God has given me a word for us in this season, because we live in a time where just in America alone, but people are blaming other people for the fact that they cannot move into that next place. And many times when we face that opposition, or when we're told no access, or when we're told that you cannot go beyond this point, many times we get frustrated and we get angry, and we experience all different sorts of emotions. And because of the disappointment, many of us turn and walk away. The question is, what has God said? Amen. What has God said? So I believe that after tonight, we're going to dive into this message. And the Holy Spirit is going to help me deliver it just the way he gave me. So let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this opportunity, and I thank you for your people, God. And more importantly, God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your spirit. So God, as I deliver this word as you gave it to me, God, I pray that I would decrease and you would increase, God, and I would step out of the way. And Father, through your Holy Spirit, that the words that go out of my mouth will be of you, and God, they will go and accomplish that which you have intended for it to accomplish tonight in Jesus' name. If you would turn with me to your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and we're going to read a story about a young man named Jabez. Because we can go through a list of reasons why the world would limit us from walking into the things of God. And we're going to use Jabez as an example for our main text tonight. You have it, say amen, please. Amen. Starting at verse 9, and it reads as follows. It says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than all of his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' Then Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my borders, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that I might not bring pain.'" And then the text says, "And God granted what he asked." If you've ever read Chronicles, particularly 1 Chronicles, I don't know about you, but on many occasions, I just keep on rolling. Amen. Start hitting them names, and we know that the writer of 1 Chronicles is laying down the genealogy of the tribes, the 12 tribes. And here we get into chapter 4, and he's naming off the individuals in the tribe of Judah. And he's walking through it. You know those names. Sort of kind of like, say your name, if you don't mind.
Joseph.
Latrice. Delaine.
Andre.
Brianna.
Now, Andre was more honorable than all of his brothers. And his mother named him Andre because she bore him in pain. But Andre cried out to God and said, "Oh, that you would bless me." He called out to the God of Israel. And he said, "Oh, that you would bless me. And that you would enlarge my territory." "And that your hand would be upon me. That you would be with me, that I would not cause pain." Now, Andre's name means pain, and that's what Jabez. Jabez meant pain, or one who causes sorrow. But then the text says, God granted him what he asked. Are you wondering what's going on here? Why would the writer, out of all the names that they were listing, God's people, but stop here and camp out on this individual and then go in and say that he was more honorable than all of his brothers. Then it says that his mother named him Jabez because she bore him in pain. Now, how many of you have heard of the prayer of Jabez? How many of you have read the book? How many of you have prayed the prayer? And many times we approach this passage of scripture from a perspective of wanting God to bless us. This, in some folks' mindset, is an equation. It's an ingredient for God's blessing. It's a formula for God's blessing. So here it is in the middle of First Chronicles, and here is this gem. So if I just pray the prayer that Jabez prayed, because God granted him what he asked. So if he did it for him, then he'll do it for me. Are you curious? Now, I searched the scripture, and there's only three references of Jabez. One is a place, and then we have this, talking about a person. But the writer breaks this thing down. So as I looked at this and I was saying, God, what are you saying pertaining to this passage of scripture? Because I didn't tell you the title of this message, but it's Overcoming Your Limitations. Overcoming the limitations that we face in life. And here we have Jabez at a very young age realizing by his name that his future has already been determined by his name. How many know that in the Old Testament, a name really meant something? And in certain cultures today, a name still means something. Maybe here, even in the West, a name means something. I don't know about you, but sometimes, and I'm not trying to laugh or to criticize anybody, but sometimes today we're so busy naming folks after cars. Porsche, Lexus. We got any Porsches and Lexuses up in here? Or what about after some alcohol? Hennessy, Alizé. Bacardi. But in the Old Testament, your name determined your future. So Jabez, realizing this, he's like, hey, I got to deal with this. Now, it's one thing to be called out your name or put down by an enemy. Anybody ever been called names by an enemy? Mm-hmm. And in some cases, even by a friend. But to be called or given a name by your mother, who understands that your name determines your future, yet she would call him Jabez, one who causes pain. Or one who causes sorrow. Now the text says that Jabez was more honorable than all of his brothers. Now why in the world is he more honorable than all of his brothers? Well, the text doesn't tell us specifically. So we have to deal with what we have here. And I've used my sanctified imagination and tried to figure out, well, why in the world would he be more honorable than his brothers? Maybe he did his chores. Maybe he, you know, walked upright before God. But based on the text, it says that he called out to the God of Israel. And he prayed. Which tells me that he had a problem and he knew that he couldn't do anything about it. He had a problem because he had a name that meant one who causes pain, Yet and still, he cried out to the God of Israel and said, oh, and this is not the kind of oh. I can only imagine his oh. Have you ever been in pain and you cried out, oh? This is from a place of desperation to a true and living God. Oh God, that you would bless me. That's saying that he was not the source of blessing. That God, the God of Israel, was the source of his blessing. That's a pretty good indicator that that's a pretty honorable thing. To acknowledge God, the God of Israel. And he was very, very specific in his requests. Very specific. He says, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my borders. Now, in the last message I spoke, I talked about boundaries. You might not remember that. But we talked about boundaries. And the fact that God has established our boundaries. And I told you about, you know, me, you know, realizing after years of being in my home that I thought that my boundaries in my backyard was a fence that was there. And after my neighbor moved out and was selling his home and the surveyor came and I discovered that I had about another 20 feet on the other side of that fence that was closer to my neighbor's house. And when I asked him, Joe, why didn't he tell me? He said, because you didn't ask. Like you paid for your own survey. So we talked about the fact that because God establishes boundaries, he does it for our safety and for our good. Whether it's a natural boundary or whether it's a spiritual boundary, God has established it for our good. And we talked about the fact that people are dying every single day because guess what? Keep out don't mean nothing to them. No access beyond this point means nothing to them, even if it's on the edge of a cliff. And they're trying to take a selfie, and then all of a sudden they fall to their death prematurely because they didn't heed the warning. But tonight we're talking about these false limitations that's been established, like in Jabez's life, by his mother. His mother, his own mother, because of her experience in giving birth to him or some other reason, she chose to call him a name that means one who causes pain. Have you been given a name that does not line up with your spirit? That does not line up with the call of God on your life? Have you ever been called out of your name? Inconsistent with what God has said about you. The world will tell us that we can't go beyond this limitation because. Maybe it's because of your social or economic status. In other words, you didn't grow into or wasn't born into money, prestige, influence. Maybe they'll tell you that you can't go beyond a certain point because of your gender. Because you're a female. Or in some cases, because you are a male. Maybe it's because of your ethnicity, your color, your educational background. We could search all over Google and we could find folks after folks after folks who overcame limitations. One that comes to mind is a young man that I recently saw on America's Got Talent. Has autism and he's blind. Mother walked him out there on the stage They did the interview like they normally do. And when he sat down to the piano and he opened his mouth, they were all mesmerized. Their eyes began to pop out of their head. And see, after tonight, once we grab and grasp this revelation about what God has to say to us about limitations and the power and the authority and the access that he has given us, when you go do what God has called you to do, even in spite of the limitations that the world has set for you, their eyes will pop out of their head. Now, a couple weeks ago, I had an opportunity to be back there with the young folks. So I got to let y'all know. How many young folks we got in here tonight? Raise your hand. All right. Okay, see? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And Mr. Jack is like, there we go. And I'm right there with you, Mr. Jack, which leads me right into my point. So I was back there with the young people, and while I was sharing the message, I realized something. I'm in my year of Jubilee, y'all. And if you're not careful, you begin to think about what that is supposed to mean. You know, old, disabled, out of operation. And when I looked at those young people, I said, you know what? This is where I want to be. Because these young people are so vibrant. Energetic, enthusiastic, energized. And I'm like, if I'm going to live another 150 years, I need to hang out around them. Now y'all say, okay, Dale, where you going with this? How many of us know folks who maybe had an injury and the doctor gave him an appliance, say, hey, use this cane or use this walker until. And it's been 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and you're still walking with the cane. Now, again, I'm going somewhere. What was intended to be temporary, we've embraced it and made it permanent. Now, if it is what it is, it is what it is. But y'all know who I'm talking about. So I realized while I was back there with the young people that this is where I want to be. Because see, they believe God. And even if they don't really have a relationship with God, they believe that they can do all things. I mean, I got one out of my many. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Out of my group. And I got one. When he came, that narrows it down. But when he came, after this 8-year sabbatical that me and Topeka had, this one was different, Andre. This one was different. And he scared the living daylights out of me because as he began to grow, it was like, I can do that. 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 I'm like, whoa, hold on, boy, we can't do that. And he really, what he used to do when I would pray for people and I would go pray, I'll never forget going to pray for my aunt who was in the hospital in Athens, Georgia. She had gotten bitten by a brown recluse spider. That's right. And I took him with me. It's Justin. I'm talking about Justin, y'all. I took him with me to the hospital. And as we were talking and fellowshipping, I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and pray for you, Auntie. She said, oh, yeah, baby, go ahead. I said, go ahead, Bishop. And I forget how old he was, but he was a little fella, laid hands on his aunt, and he prayed for her. And my aunt got healed. She recovered from being bitten by a brown recluse spider. Why? Because, see, at a very young age, I had just a little bit of sense not to put limitations on this one because everywhere I went, he went. And he caught me at a time in my life where I was walking with God. Can I get an amen right there? Then there's the other one. That's Odell, just Odell Jr. And I'll never forget being in Japan in the swimming pool, and I had some challenges when it came to water. Passed the Marine Corps swimming test, but a brother wasn't going to hang out at the beach, wasn't going to swim for leisure, okay? Get it done, get in, my 5 minutes, and I'm gone. Well, Iwakuni's got this big Olympic-sized pool. And I'll never forget, it's so big that even a non-swimmer can act like he know how to swim. Because you can be in the middle of the pool and still be in 5 feet of water. But once you get to that 5.5-foot mark, slip off. And I'll never forget him saying, "Daddy, can I go down to the deep end?" "Boy, what you want to go down there for? All this water right here? Water here, water there. Why you got to go down there? This is water. Be content with what you got. Swim in all this water right here." And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, "Why? Because of your fear of water, because of your lack of due diligence to really learn the techniques, so you have the capacity to do it, but you don't have the will to do it. You don't have the mindset to do it. See, you're afraid, if truth be told, you're afraid of water. At least that go over your head." But here's this young fella, and he sees his friends down in the deep end, and he's like, "Dad, can I go?" And I'm saying no. See, I was placing a limitation on him at a very young age. So I had a friend of mine at the squadron that I was at, avid swimmer. I went to him and I said, "I need you to teach me how to swim." He said, "Okay, meet me at the pool tomorrow at lunchtime." And I'll never forget that as lunchtime came, I had such a conviction down on the inside of my heart. Fear had dissipated. Fear was gone because I looked at my son and said, "If I don't conquer this, if I don't get over this and truly learn how to swim, then I will continue to put my fear and the limitations that I've placed on myself onto my children. And I'm not going to do that." And I'll never forget that as I changed over into my swimming attire, the pool was huge, and I walked down the side. He was way down in the deep end, and I walked down there with conviction, like, "I'm not going to turn around, Regina. I'm going regardless of my fear. I'm going." And I got down there to the end, and he was in the water. And he began to coach me and told me some things. "This is what you're going to do. I'm going to jump into the water, take a 30-inch step. I'm going to hold your breath. And I want you to try to go to the bottom of the pool." I was like, okay. I trust him. So I did exactly what he told me to do. I took a 30-inch step into the water, took a lung full of air, and I tried to go to the bottom of the pool, and I could not do it. Came, popped back to the top. He said, "Can you go to the bottom?" I said, "No, I can't go to the bottom." "You know why you can't go to the bottom?" "I don't know why I can't go to the bottom." He said, "That's because you got a lung full of air. And what has air will not go under. It's going to float. So now you want me to go to the bottom of the pool, and you want me to release the air in my body. Now I'm going to be at the bottom of the pool with no air in my body. But I trust you. But I trust you." So I got in the water, and he told me the technique. "I want you to seep it out of the side of your mouth just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit." And as I did that, and I did this, I went to the bottom of the pool. But when I touched the bottom of the pool, ladies and gentlemen, I was completely liberated. I was completely liberated because I had finally touched the bottom of the pool, an Olympic-sized pool. And it was from that moment on that I realized I can swim. I can do it. And as a result of that, then my son was able to go down there in the deep end and do and swim and have fun. What limitations have you allowed to be placed on you to keep you from enjoying what God has so freely, not freely, but at a cost? Paid for so that we would be able to experience not only the newness of life, but the abundant life. I could go on and on and on about getting out of high school and then going to college. I had no desire to go to college. But I had a leader in my life that said, Odell, you need to apply for the warrant officer program. I really don't want to do that. And then I had Dr. Eric Ikechukwu, who's from Nigeria, says, Benton, you need to go to college. And I said, college ain't for me. I'm an entrepreneur, businessman. Benton, you need to go to college. Got too many kids. I got a wife. Need to send her to school. Then one day I came into work and on my desk was a copy of his transcript in which he had taken 8 classes in one semester from Central Texas College. Doesn't even seem possible, but I still have a copy of it to this day. And on it, he said, Benton, the maximum effective range of any excuse is 0 miles. No obstacle too small or great can stop me from accomplishing my mission. That's pretty deep right there. So I heard about the education center and I could take a CLEP test, Dante's test. I went over there. I took this Dante's test since I was an entrepreneur in small business management. I took the test and about 2 to 3 weeks came back. Congratulations, you have earned 3 semester hours in small business management. I said, what? All I did was take a test. And that launched me into pursuing higher learning to the point where, you know, working on a master's degree in education, adult education. Now I'm on a sabbatical, but I'm still working on it. Because how many of you know if you get out of balance with the master's, it'll put you in the hospital? What's my point? See, I had people in my life that all along the way, they were challenging me. And even though I gave them excuses based on the limitations that I had put on my own life, they didn't buy it. And they pressed in and they kept on and kept on until finally I was able to take that step and discover that, wow, I really can do this. So what is it that God has called you to do? What vision or dream that he has given to you? And you know it. You can't shake it. Everything about you, the fiber of your very being, says that this is what God is calling you to do. But you're saying, well, God, I don't have the money. Or God, I'm just old country boy with a GED. Or maybe, God, I'm a female. I'm not, whatever it may be. Do you really think that God is going to change his mind about the call that he has on your life? No, he's not. But do you really think that it will come to pass? Do you really think so? Well, I believe that the graveyard is filled with folks who had dreams and had promises, but because they could not get past the limitations that were established and set on them, regardless of by whom, that those dreams went unfulfilled. They went unfulfilled. And the same thing will happen in your life and in my life. If we don't get into the word and know what God has said we have access to and what we can do, and in spite of the situation or the circumstance, in spite of what I see in the natural, I can press through that thing towards the promise that God has set for you and for me. Well, let's talk about this for a moment. The elderly. Maybe because you're in your latter years, you think, well, there's no place for me. You know, I got 1 foot on a banana peel and the other one in the ground. So I'm retired. I'm just waiting to expire. You know, this is a young folks thing. So all I can do is come to church and I'll be in the room and, you know, I'm here. Surely I can't go out in the parking lot. Too hot, too cold. Can't serve in any capacity because I hurt too bad. On too many medications. Got this cane and this walker. You know, one of my favorite people in the world. His old mom right there, Mom Katie. Ooh, Lord. You know, when I go home and deal with my dad, well, he's about 80-something. We don't quite know. He's 80-something. Got a birthday coming up on Sunday. And I know everybody's journey is their journey. But yeah, boy, I ain't doing nothing. He won't do nothing, Willie, honey. And I talk about you all the time, Miss Katie. You and Miss Lula. I said, Dad, I got some folks up there your age that's running rings around you. See, you need to come out from off this couch and maybe leave this little town that you've been there for a while, and let me come introduce you to some folk that's right there in your age group, and they're still getting it. I mean, I done been in the hospital with Miss Katie. They done counted her out. Don't look too good. What's that, baby? I never forget Miss Katie going to the hospital to see you that one time you was over there in that place. And I know what you was telling me. Get me out of here. I said, what, Miss Katie? Out of here. I want to go home. And I looked at you and I said, Miss Katie, I got to go out of town. Got to go out of town. You're going to be here when I get back, right? Mm-hmm. She's going to be here. And she's sitting right there. Why is that? Miss Katie, you could teach us a thing or two. Because we all know we're going to check up out of here. But Miss Katie, like, I ain't going prematurely. I know this old body is failing. I know this thing is going on. But I'm still going to go worship God. And I'm still going to set the example that during praise and worship, I'm going to raise my hands. I'm going to dance. I'm going to shout. Rigor mortis ain't going to set in on me while I'm alive. I mean, I'm just saying. Now, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I don't have no pain in my body. But I still got the activity of my limbs. I'm still in my right mind. So what limitations do you have on you tonight? And you see them very clearly. And you're like, tonight, no, we're going to take the limits off. We're going to take the limits off. Yes, we are. Because that's God's plan. That's God's plan for us. And what an example. What an example, Miss Katie. You are and many, many others in our congregation here at River of Life Church that set the example. What's my point? Just because you've reached a certain age, as I said to Mr. Jack, who I asked, are there any young people in the room? Mr. Jack, like, yeah, me. And I'm right there with you, Mr. Jack. But you know what was the first thing some folks probably close to you did? Like, look at you. Mm-hmm. You need to grow up. Act your age. No, Mr. Jack, like, I don't plan on acting my age. Now, where it's appropriate, I will. But if you're going to try to tell me I can't do something that I know is appropriate, right? Right? Then I'm going to do it. George Bush, at the age of what? Like 90-something, was jumping out of a plane? I'm like, really? On his birthday, they would like throw him out of the plane. I'm, hey, whoa. Man. What have you been holding back on doing? Let me get back in these notes. The bottom line is that the world, along with Satan, will say that we can't because. And use your imagination, because some of those things have already been told to you. But see, God says that you can because. Did you catch that? See, the world will say you can't because, but God says that you can because. Because of what, you might ask? Because of Jesus Christ. Because of the finished work of the cross. Because of what he did on the cross. Before he did what he did, man had no hope. Dead in our sin and in our trespasses. As a result of what our parents did in the garden. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That immediately once he gave their sentence, because he's a just God, he immediately put into plan a plan of redemption to redeem man back to himself. But he couldn't find no one. So he gave his only son. And as a result of what he did, his son did on the cross, God gave him a name that is above every name. And the Bible tells us at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ, he's Lord. So there's hope for our Porsches and Lexuses. Thanks be to God that he didn't put it in the hands of our parents to give us a name like Warrior. Huh? Wealthy one. Now, my mom and dad did, if I must say so myself. I went to a conference not too long ago, and there was a young lady there, and when you introduced yourself, she said, well, what does your name mean? My name's Odell. She says, what does your name mean? I was like, all right, cool. Google Odell, and I discovered that Odell means like a color of blue, real expensive color of blue, like dye of blue. And blue, interestingly enough, is what, babe? It's like my favorite color. Man, blue shirts in my closet. Blue. They say, bro, you gonna buy enough something else? Blue suits, everything blue. But then the other part to it was, it meant wealthy one. I said, won't he do it? I've had the prophetic word on my life. Y'all know who you are. I don't know how many times somebody's like, Odell, I see the Lord saying you have a whole lot of money. He gonna have you steward over this, that, and the other. And I'm like, okay, yes, I believe it. And I do believe it. I believe it. Why? Because if the kingdom of God is going to expand, it takes money. Right? But if we were all to take a self-inventory and say, God, while we're on this project that we've been on for a minute, how many of us have prayed, God, enlarge my territory, enlarge my finances. God, give me an idea. Give me a creative idea. So use me, God, as the vessel. Give me the $10 million that we need. Give me the $20 million that we need. I'll be faithful to write the check. God, I'll do it. So is it possible that we're not walking in the blessings that God has given to us, not because of him, but because of the limitations that we have on ourselves? Or maybe it's because of the enemy who, guess what? Here's the promise of God. This is the promise of God for me, and I'm over here, and I'm starting my journey. And all of a sudden, the enemy, the picture that I saw is the enemy doesn't start here. The enemy is going to protect this. His oh, look at that. That's beautiful right there. All the promises, footballs, all these toys, right? So he wants to sit here, and he wants to keep me from possessing these things. And along the way, he uses his influence and people and demons and all these things to get into my path to cause me to be frustrated or to walk in unbelief and just give up. In spite of what's been told to me through the prophetic or what God has told you straight to your face, told you that you're gonna have a business. He told you that you're gonna own your own home. He told you that you're gonna be a yoke breaker. But you're saying I can't because I'm a woman or because I'm a child. I'll never forget my wife. One time I was going through a very challenging time in my life with a particular organization that I was with, and I was frustrated. And I said, honey, I'm going to quit. I'm just going to tap out. I'm done with this. And it's something about Mr. Peaky, if y'all don't know. God speaks through her. He really does. Because she is a woman of not many words. So when she speak, I listen sometimes. And I'll never forget her having one of these moments. And she said, honey, what I need you to do is I need you to look beyond the obstacles that Satan has put in your path and see your sons. I said, woof, what? What manner of woman is this? Why you have to go there? And that's what God is saying to you today. He's already given you the promise. He's already given you the word. But you got some obstacles in your way. And you're focused on the obstacle. You're focused on the natural. When the Bible tells us that God has raised Jesus up and he seated him at the right hand of the Father. And guess what? If we're in him, we also have been raised up and we're seated with him in the heavenly realm. But guess what? Sometimes when you read that, you may wonder, well, what does that mean? I'm seated in heavenly realm. That's in Ephesians chapter 2. Turn there if you would with me, please. Let's read this. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to start. Let's read it all real quick. And his fullness fills you, even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sin and offenses. If you would, please. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religious or the religion and customs and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly, say that, realm, who fills the atmosphere with his what? His authority. And he works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and the desires of our self-life. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children subject to God's wrath like everyone else. But God still loved us with such great love that he is so rich in compassion and mercy that even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us in the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended. It says what? We ascended with him into the glorious perfection and what? Authority of the what? Of the heavenly realm. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Amen. So all in that passage, what we're talking about when he mentions the heavenly realm, he's talking about a place of authority. Because in this heavenly realm, there's a throne. Amen. And if there's a throne, there's a king sitting on the throne. Amen. And if there's a king, then there must be a kingdom and authority. So although spiritually, not physically, based on me being in this natural body, but spiritually, I'm seated in heavenly places in the heavenly realm, guess what? With the authority that Christ has. So if we have the authority of Christ, he said what? Whatever you bound in heaven will be bound on earth. Whatever you loose in heaven will be loosed on earth, right? So he's saying that, wait a minute, whatever you loose in heaven, in the heavenly realm, based on heavenly authority, will be loosed in the earth based on what? The heavenly authority. Let your what? Kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it what? Is in heaven. We're talking about authority. Now, this authority is not just for the priest. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for those individuals. It's for all whom believes. What are you believing God for? Are you walking in the authority that God has given to you? Do you really recognize? Can you really grasp this? I asked my wife this morning. I said, honey, what are we believing God for beyond our ability? And I believe this is just Odell. In the revelation that I got for me, that if I am not believing God for something that goes beyond my resources and beyond my ability, then I might be a little complacent. I might be resting on my laurels. I might have the object of my faith misplaced. Because I don't care who you are, that if you're not believing God for something beyond your resources, that after a while you will begin to believe that if it is to be, it's up to me. I got this under control. But Jabez knew he had a bigger problem. You would think that he would just change his name to something that meant warrior, one who is rich, one that pleases God. What are you facing today? What limitations have been placed on you? Who have you allowed to speak into your life? And in some cases, ladies and gentlemen, it could go all the way back to your childhood. And you don't quite remember it, but then some of us do. And my hope and prayer is tonight as we pray, Holy Spirit, reveal to me when I begin to think like this. Because ultimately, this is where it lies, right between our ears. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you think that you are limited from having access to something that God has said you can have access to, then we might need to check ourselves. I was talking to a good friend the other day, and he was telling me, because he recently did not get promoted to the next level in the organization that he's in. And he said, Odell, I have so much peace. I've had to console those who love me, came to see about me. I've received so many emails and visits, folks crying and carrying on, but he said, I got peace. And it was as I was talking to him, this popped in my spirit. I said, if God is not in it, I don't want it. Amen. See, and there are some things that we want. Right? There's some things that we want. There's some things that you think you should have. And maybe God has said no. But we know that promotion comes from God. Right? He wanted to reach the next level. But they said no. And then I have another friend, very, very good friend, and he just so happened to be working for an individual that actually sat on the promotion board. Very high-ranking official. So normally, you know, if you're selected to go work for this individual, I mean, this is a one-of-a-kind kind of billet. You don't get to this level and you're not the cream of the crop. You don't get there. And not one time, but two times, on two different occasions, by two different individuals, one individual said, you know, you're just not my guy. And he said, as he looked at this individual completely embarrassed, he wanted to grab him by the ears, snatch the head off, and bang it on the desk three times. Boom, boom, boom. Yes, he did say that. But he said the Holy Spirit was keeping him. So he just did the whole squint the eyes. Just keep on shaking your head. And then the other person looked him in the eyes and said, you know, you make a good assistant. You make a real good assistant. What was he saying? I don't see you as being, let's say, the boss. I don't see you as being a director. You know what? You make a real good deputy. Have you ever had anybody look you in the face and tell you that? You're not my guy. Or you're not my girl. You're not the one. And the natural, it hurts, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But because we trust God and because we believe God, guess what? We know that all things work together for the good of them. Right? All things that love God. And Jabez, we can use our imagination and say that he loved God. And God heard his prayer. And he granted him what he asked for. I really love this prayer that thank God, like me. Me harm. God, keep me from doing harm. Promote me, God. Enlarge my territory, God. I don't believe Jabez was asking for selfish reasons. I believe he was asking for kingdom reasons. What he was saying was, God, enlarge my influence so that I can impact the kingdom of God. Are you praying that prayer? God, enlarge my territory, regardless of my age, regardless of my physical ailments, regardless of my educational background, regardless of my bank account. Will you enlarge my sphere of influence? And will you start right where I am? How many of you want the ability to influence those for God in your own household? You're like, God, I don't want to influence the whole world. Just allow me to influence my son. Just allow me to influence my daughter. God hears your prayers. Stop trying to be God. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. You have a relationship with God. He hears you. He loves you. And he is going to answer your prayer. That loved one that's acting up, begin to speak those things. Call those things that be not as if they are so. Don't use your mouth, because death and life lie in the power of the tongue. So that kid may be acting like the devil, but they're not the devil. That spouse may be acting like that, but they're not that. I thank God for my wife that when I was acting like the devil, she was calling those things that be not as if they were. My husband, the righteous man, he's a man of God, and yes, I want to kill him, but he's still the man of God. Yes, I want to throw some hot grease on him, but he's still a man of God. Yes, Lord, oh yes, look. Am I making this stuff up? I'm here before you tonight because of a praying mother and a praying wife. Do you believe it? I don't know what limitations you're facing tonight. I don't know what challenges you're facing tonight. We serve an unlimited God. And he has given us unlimited grace and mercy. For we're saved by grace through faith. So he loved us so much that he had mercy on us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you and he died for me. But not just so that we won't go to hell. See, we need God to enlarge our territory, and we need him to give us the authority so that we can go into the enemy's camp and we can take back what he stole from us. See, you can't go in the enemy's camp and you don't have God with you. I had that kind of zeal at one point in my life until I read the scripture in Acts when it was like, in the name of the Jesus whom Paul preach, come out. And the Bible said the demon was like, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? See, we can say that I'm his child. We sang about it tonight. I am his child. Fear no longer has its hold on me. Fear no longer has its grip on me. I no longer walk in fear. Fear of what? Fear of failure? Fear of the opinions of men? Fear of anything? Because if it's God's will, it's God's bill. Stop looking at things from a natural perspective. And now let's look at things from a heavenly perspective. God, if you've said that I have this authority and I have this power, then God, teach me through your Holy Spirit how to exercise it. Not that I would have a bunch of zeal and no knowledge, but God, that I would do what you tell me to do. I'll say what you tell me to say. I'll go where you tell me to go. In spite of what everybody is saying around me. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but maybe there's just one person under the sound of my voice. And you're like, Odell, man, this is me. See, I gave up on the promises of God. I know he told me that I was gonna be a writer. I know that he told me that I would be a business owner. I know that he told me that I would have a husband who would love me and respect me and honor me. I know he told me that I would have a wife who would love me, respect me, and honor me. I know he told me that I would have children. Have you let go of the promises of God? Then my hope for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is that you would grasp the revelation of the finished work of the cross. All you have to do is look at the cross and see that a sinless, spotless lamb by the name of Jesus bore all of our sin, all of our iniquity on the cross, so that we not only would come into the kingdom for the purposes of not going to hell, but that once we came into the kingdom, we would learn what rights we have, who we are in the kingdom, make sure that the object of our faith is not in our gift, but it's in Christ and in Christ alone. And as we put our faith in Christ, we have to exercise our faith. So in order to exercise our faith, then we got to be believing God for something that goes beyond our resources and our ability. if you would, bow your heads, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you, God, for the word that you've given me, God, for your people tonight. And God, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have a true adversary, a true enemy, because your word tells us that. We've experienced it. But we also know that your word tells us that we have the promises that you've given us and the blessings that you have set for us. But God, we believe the lies of the enemy. We believe the lies of people, whether intentionally or unintentionally. And as a result of that, God, we've grown a little bit. We've experienced a little disappointment. So we've stopped believing that what you promised is really for me. And I don't know why tonight, what's really pressing on me is somebody has put down their pen. And God gave you the gift to write. He told you to write. Write it out. And you've laid your pen down. But God is saying, will you trust me? Will you believe me? And will you believe the fact that the promise and the gift that I've given you is without repentance, simply meaning that he will not pull back the giftings and the purposes and plans that he has for your life. Regardless of your failure, regardless of you missing the mark, the Bible says that a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. Why does he get back up? Because he trusts in the one who has the power to raise him up and seat him in heavenly places. If that's you tonight, with everybody's eye closed, just raise your hand and you say, Odell, that's me. You're talking about me. I see your hand. I see your hands all over the room. Father, in Jesus' name, you see the hands, God. And Father, I thank you for encouraging your people. God, I thank you that as we submit to your will and to your way, understanding, Lord, that it's your desire and it's your obligation and it's your right because of the finished work of the cross to take the wheel, to be in the driver's seat. And God, tonight, I submit to you that as your Holy Spirit leads me, I will walk with you. I will surrender to you. I'll listen to you, and I'll do what you told me to do. Receive that. Grab a hold of it. And maybe there's somebody in the room, and you say, well, Odell, I don't even have a relationship with God, and I know it. See, because the greatest limitation that's ever been placed on man is the limitation of sin. And that limitation was put in place because of the fall in the garden. But I already told you that our loving God immediately put a plan of redemption into play. And ladies and gentlemen, when he hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. But it didn't end at the cross because he got up. And without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have no gospel. But he got up, and the Bible says he got up with all power in his hand. Why did he get up? Because he looked beyond the obstacles that were set before him, and he saw you, and he saw me. And maybe you're here tonight, and you said, Odell, the limitations about God has been placed on me because I was at the last ministry I was in or something my parents told me about God. And I'm only here tonight because of an invitation. But tonight is my night, and I'm willing to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and begin to learn about the promises that I have in him. If that's you, just raise your hand. Praise God. Father, I thank you for the word that you've given me. And I thank you for your people. And I pray that even after we leave this place tonight, God, that you would go before us. You'll go with us. And God, through your Holy Spirit, you'll remind us of the promises that we have in you. Because it's only in you and by you that we even exist, God. And we move and we have our being. So we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.